99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You are listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Happy Thursday to everyone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster back at you with another week of Red Zone where we talk Illinois State sports, national sports, and so much more. Fellas, happy Thursday. Happy Thursday before break, too. It feels even better.
Yeah, it does, but I'm going to just be self for real. I'm still recovering from the Bears loss, so the vibe's not there today, not here.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what's kind of made the whole week for me, like, kind of go by and see how fast it's been, how nice the weather's been, except for today. Because now snow's down again, and it's kind of crazy seeing all the snow on the ground.
It's been bad. I was, like, so ready for the cold weather. Like, I was enjoying it. Like, it wasn't bad. It felt nice to have, like, the jeans, the sweaters out. Like, it felt nice. And then today, I'm just walking to class, and I'm just like, all right, I think we gotta get rid of this snow. It's bad. Apparently, at home in Chicago, for me, we got like 4 inches.
Oh my God.
So it's gonna be like I'm going to a whole different place tomorrow when I head back home. But nonetheless, either way, let's get into what we're actually here for. We're not weathermen today. We're talking sports, and we're gonna start with Illinois State sports. As it's been a jam-packed week, just all over the place with volleyball, football, both basketball teams. Really, it feels like in the last week the Redbirds might be back all across the board. No.
I'm knocking on some wood. I'm not going to say that too quick because this is kind of the start. You know, we got a lot of playoff action coming.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to say anything too soon, but, like, the vibes are there.
Let's start with volleyball. As last night, the Redbirds managed to lock up the 4 seed in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, finishing the regular season 16-15, but finishing conference 11-7, and yesterday the implications were absolutely huge, and you could feel it at CEFQ Arena as me and Julian were both there with our other job. And I mean, it was probably, and Julian, I think you can attest to it, probably the best volleyball game all year.
Honestly, it's probably the best volleyball game I've ever watched myself.
Yeah, 100%.
It was back and forth the whole entire time, but both teams, it seemed like they wanted it so badly, and you could just tell from the very start.
So to set it up, what the implications were of yesterday. First of all, they were facing their I-74 rival in the Bradley Braves, and the Redbirds just managed to sneak it out, winning 3-1. But it really was, those first two sets were back and forth. First set won by the Redbirds, second set won by Bradley. Third set ends up being a pretty dominant win by the Redbirds, at least it felt like it. But that fourth set was back and forth. The Redbirds were down by almost, I think, 7 at one point, and managed to come all the way back, winning the final set 26-25. It was an impressive win for the Birds.
Yeah, I mean, for me too, what I like seeing out of that whole game was how much they rotated people in and out too.
Yeah.
It shows how much depth the team has right now. And they're not only just playing people that are older, they're playing a lot of freshmen now too, and they even have Ada Shadewall back now too, so that's a huge pickup for them.
Yeah, I was just going to touch on that, because that's kind of the big thing, is the team's getting healthy at the right time, and like, you can go on this big run at the start of the season, but like, if you get cold at the wrong time, all that's going to go to waste. And it's just really clicking for the Redbirds now. You get Shadowald back, you get Caitlin Little back, and Kennedy Guest still kind of 50-50. She's going to return for the tournament. But if you get that star freshman as well, the Redbirds have everything, and who knows what they can do in that tournament.
I think the biggest star of yesterday's game, when you watch it and when you look back, is we talk about injuries and trying for them all to get back, but it feels like Hannah Reichensberger is now finally fully back. Yesterday, her day was really impressive. A former guest of the Red Zone as well. She had 10 kills and 8 blocks at the net. We ended up, the ESPN broadcast ended up naming her the player of the game, and rightfully so. She played basically majority of the time, but feels like she never came out. And really up front and in front of the net, her being there and her presence is just, it's game changing for the Redbirds, and it must feel good for them to have her back full time.
No, because when it comes to volleyball, not to like make it too much like football related, but it really comes down to the trenches. It's who you got in front of the net to bring it down. And the Redbirds, they just simply have weapons. They have 4 players that they can throw out there at all times and still feel comfortable. So this is the best this team has looked in a long time, especially considering how they looked last season.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems to me that they miss her versatility a lot, and she just does more on the court than you really just expect out of somebody, because she plays defense, she can attack the ball, she kills the ball, so she does everything the Redbirds needed. And that's kind of the missing piece that they've needed all season, finally seeing her healthy again.
So looking ahead for the Illinois State volleyball team, it starts this Saturday. The Missouri Valley Conference does in Cedar Falls, Iowa, but the Redbirds will not play until Sunday. They will play at 3 p.m. against the winner of the number 5 and number 8 game. So they can have a chance at Bradley once again to try and get to that semifinal spot. So really, there's a lot on the table for the Redbirds, and as we said, they're getting healthier and healthier, and really kind of what we saw in those first couple conference games could be back and feel really good about their chances.
Yeah, and I feel like we still haven't even touched on what was their biggest asset, and Michaela Pugh with the transfer they got this offseason.
She's been awesome.
She leads the NCAA in assists by 50. Like, she is just that far ahead of everybody else, and just having that asset on the court as well to go along with all these hitters they have up front. Illinois State, it just seems like they have everything. It's kind of hard to find a weak spot with this team.
Yeah, we kind of touched on the chemistry in the beginning of Red Zone and everything. We kind of talked about they have a lot of new transfers coming in. They have a lot of new freshmen coming in, too. And it seems like this team has finally clicked now at the very, pretty much the best part of the season, too. Finally, like, getting towards playoff play. Everybody's kind of clicking again, and it's good to see out of this whole organization.
So we'll continue to keep you with as much updates as possible as the Redbirds look to win the Valley and make it to the tournament. But let's move forward to ISU football, as they had a nice weekend themselves and have continued to just dominate, now winning 4 games in a row, 8-3 on the season. And I think it's a pretty safe bet to say that the Illinois State Redbirds will be in the FCS playoffs this year.
Yeah, they're going to make their first playoff appearance since 2019. And if you told me that at the start of the season, I just would have been shocked, because this team was just riddled with injuries. The offense wasn't really there. And when the offense was there, the defense wasn't there. It just kind of seemed like it wasn't going to work out. But since these guys started coming back, Brock's back has just built something. It's been special for the Redbirds.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an up-and-down season for them, definitely. But they did fight through a lot of adversity this whole entire season. They had a lot of injuries, like you said, a lot of guys going in and out, their quarterback problem too, just not knowing who was their quarterback one, but it all kind of came together at the end of the season now, and it's good to see.
Yeah, the fact that a team that was once running 2 quarterbacks in the same game somehow made the playoffs, like, genuinely blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that done before, but just hats off to Rittenhouse for finally winning that battle at some point in the season. It's just how he's developed as a pocket passer has just been incredible for this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tommy's job now. I mean, and you said the most important thing too. He has developed himself into a true pocket passer. He only had 2 rushing attempts on Saturday, which is, I mean, it's uncharacteristic for him. If you would have told me that a year ago, I would have been like, there's absolutely no way it would have ever happened. But Tommy just delivered for the Redbirds on Saturday, throwing 29 with 41 attempts, had 3 touchdowns and 319 yards, and he just really got the offense going. Daniel Sopkowitz, he's after a slower start to the year than what we've seen, he's went absolutely ballistic, as well as Xavier Lloyd with 13 catches. So this offense is firing on all cylinders right now, and we've talked about it in the past couple of weeks how, you know, that's huge potentially going into playoff play, and I think it could be a difference as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, Ben. If you told me that he only had 2 attempts running the ball, I would have asked you how many points they lost that game by. They ended up winning convincingly. It's just the emergence of Xavier Lloyd as well, the pairing with Sopkowitz. They have an incredible backfield as well. It's just the offense just has a little bit of everything. That's really an unfamiliar identity for this Illinois State football team, because it's always just kind of been run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. But they've been able to mix it up on both aspects of passing and running. It's a completely rejuvenated team.
Yeah, I mean, we always talked about them trying to get their athletes more involved as the season went by now. Sopkowitz didn't get that involved that much in the beginning of the season, but now they involved him so much more. This man had 156 yards last week with 2 touchdowns, and Xavier Lloyd also just plays so well next to him too. So this is a team that has the capabilities of going far in the playoffs and making some upsets, maybe or maybe not, just depending on how much their athletes just kind of like lead them through the series. Because the trench is not like, it's not going to be like the best matchup usually, but their athletes as well, I think their athletes could be good chances against other teams.
So now for the Redbirds, they head to North Dakota, who is 5-6 on the season. Really haven't had that many convincing wins. A very similar schedule to Illinois State, but you know, you get this one and you just continue to move up in the tournament. I know right now they're ranked as the 13th in the FCS. I know things change based on conference winners and whatever it might not be or whatever. But, you know, they just continue to improve. And I think, you know, once again, I think you're looking really solid against the North Dakota team.
Yeah, that North Dakota fall off kind of needs to be studied, though. Yeah. They had such high expectations, and they just fell off the face of the earth. But this should be a nice win for Illinois State to wrap up their season on. But either way, they're going to make it in either way, and it's not really going to change their seeding. So I'm kind of interested to see what Illinois State's mentality is going to be heading into this game, because you're not really going to jump higher up and get that first round bye. So you're kind of just in the same spot no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they could go the route where they want to just like play kind of like their twos instead, not like get their guys injured. But also you don't really want to have that break for your guys and just not really be ready for the next week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but like when you have an experienced coach like Coach Speck, who's been doing this for like decades on decades, he'll know how to make the right call. I don't. I'm just behind a microphone, so I just hope Coach Speck makes the right call for the Redbirds.
As we head into Thanksgiving break, don't forget you could still watch that game here on 103.3 WZND at 11:50 on Saturday, North Dakota, senior day for the Redbirds. Make sure to tune in right here on 103.3 WZND. All right, let's go to the men's basketball team. As there has been a lot. They're too much to talk about. They're currently in the Virgin Islands. They're beating Duncan Robinson. The vibes are high. Everything's looking good. But this past weekend, they played against Trinity Christian College, where they got a dominating 107-52 win. I was on the call, and let me tell you, it was such a fun game to call. Even though it's Trinity Christian, the way that offense was scoring, and I think more importantly, shooting 50% from three-point range, and the biggest advocate for that all, we talked about him in the first week of basketball play, but maybe he's becoming a real figure on this Redbirds team. Jack Doherty is awesome to watch.
Yeah, it's just kind of watching the Johnny Kinziger emergence happen again right in front of your face for the second time. But this is kind of something I was preaching since the first game, since I don't really get off Twitter a lot. I'm kind of on it too frequently. But some people are like, oh, ISU's shooting too many three-pointers. This team's just not going to win with this method. When you shoot like that, it's just going to be streaky. You're going to be on hot streaks, and you're going to be on cold streaks. Just because you have a bad night on an opener does not mean a three-point shot's not going to be there, and it has emerged for the Redbirds. And Jack Doherty, oh my God, 8 of them tying the school record in your fourth-ever collegiate game? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they did shoot 41 threes the first game, but a lot of them were open looks at the same time. They just didn't fall because it was the first game of the season. Like, jitters are happening for a lot of the young guys. Like, they're kind of trying to figure out how to play together. But now you can just kind of see that those plays are open for them for a reason because they're running their offense the right way.
And this is kind of like the thing that goes back to it too. Like, this might end up hurting them in the long run. But like the fact that they don't really have like that size that we kind of talk about, but they just run all over you. They're down the court. And it goes back to like what you were telling us at the beginning of the year. They want to score in the first 6 seconds of that shot clock. And let me tell you, they are. I saw this. This was 3 days ago, so granted, this could have changed. But Illinois State is one of three schools in the NCAA this season with two or more games shooting 60% or better. It's a small sample size right now, but that's like, I mean, that's something that I think could only be improved upon, no?
Yeah, I mean, that's just cream of the crop right there. And they can keep building onto that identity. This team's going to build something special, but I'm just really excited to see how this Paradise Jam goes, because this is really going to say how good this Illinois State team can be. There's a lot of good schools that are out of the conference, like Kansas State, you got George Washington, you got Longwood, you got the Canes, you got Liberty. There's going to be a lot of talented schools.
And McNeese,
how did I forget that one? First round matchup. But this is the big one. I want Kansas State so bad. Coleman Hawkins, one of Julian's Illinois losers, thought he was one of the funniest people of all time. It's like, oh, am I going to come to Illinois State? Like, dude, shut up. Like, you're not fooling nobody. But he's been stinking the bed for Kansas State right now. And, like, I really want Illinois State to get that revenge if they can match up with him.
I mean, yeah. I love you. Like, everybody knows I'm a U of I fan and everything. Yeah, but Coleman leaving, NIU isn't much better than us right now. But him leaving kind of sucked. But at the same time, they had so much talent come in. I kind of think he was somebody that should have left last year. Go to the draft, but this Kansas State team, I wouldn't say there's anything you should just like kind of toss to the side. They're going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they're a better team than Illinois State. I'm not going to pretend they are. It's just they're having a rough start to the season. Like, I think Coleman's getting 8 per game on like 30% shooting, and that's Mr. 2 million.
Forgot about that whole entire Illinois State thing until you said it.
I was laughing at it last night.
All right, one last team to cover. It is the Illinois State women's basketball team. They managed to get a 71-55 win in the first game of that doubleheader that the men and women had on Sunday. But now, this Sunday, they're playing the smart boys, whatever it might be. Harvard.
I hope it's the smart girls.
But Harvard. And they're coming to Illinois State. There's been a lot of talk in the office about this one because Joey LeMaster will be on the call. Joey, could you give us a little preview of this game?
Yeah, so pretty much since we're going against Harvard, we had a conversation with Stevens. He was like, we need the two smartest people in the office on this call for Harvard. Like, who else but Joey LeMaster and James Corse to do this call against Harvard? And I'm like, Steve, I agree. I know, like, we really carry the academics for this office, so we're going to get on the call. And it's going to be a blast. I cannot wait for this matchup.
Make sure to tune into that call. It is at 1:50 on Sunday. Joey and James. James' first ever call, too.
First ever call, and what a way to make your start. You know, being on air with me, I know I'm a lot of fun to have, and just going against Harvard, I mean, this is one of the more fun teams that this is going to match up against, and I'm excited to see how they play out. I'm not going to pretend I'm too familiar with Harvard's basketball. I just know they're a smart school, so I'm going to imagine they're sticking to the fundamentals.
After Harvard, though, you know, once again, you're starting to get some talent here for this, or some talented teams here for this Illinois State women's team, as they've already beaten Northwestern. They merely lost to St. Louis. Harvard, I bet we'll give them a run for their money, but I would assume it could swing the Redbirds' way. But then we get to go to the Gulf Coast Showcase, and that's I love that about like this week coming up, the Thanksgiving week, because it's just so much fun. Like, waking up, obviously there's football on Thanksgiving Day, but like throughout the week there's like those 9 a.m. college basketball games, and it just goes throughout the entire day, and that's for men's and women's. But they'll start that tournament on Friday, November 29th against Boise State. So once again, that could be some tough competition for them.
Yeah, and it just goes out throughout the rest of the year. Like, just a couple weeks later, they're going to travel and play Marquette, and they had a banger of a game last year.
Marquette was ranked as well.
So it's like, whoever is scheduling these games for the women's basketball team, they're giving them tough competition. That's going to make them a better team come later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, the better the competition, the better you're going to be against your own conference, because, like, these good teams, like, they're going to pretty much train you to play against your own conference, and I think this team is good enough to keep up with those teams, so their conference play is going to be pretty interesting.
Everything is looking up for Redbirds Athletics right now, and we hope that continues, but when we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to be talking all the different storylines that have happened in the past week in national sports. Stay tuned on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone with one of our favorite topics of the show. It is Rounding the Bases, where each of us bring a sports story every week that has happened, what's been dividing social media, what's been conquering social media in terms of the sports world. And Joey, we're going to start with you. We know you're bringing something that you're very passionate about. You've been excited to talk about this one. You've been telling me about it all day. You've been thinking, you've been set on this story. And it's a big one because, yeah, you could just set it up, loft it up for us.
I mean, you talk about something I'm passionate about, and there's nothing I love more than hating. And my God, do I hate the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, this is the team. They had NBA championship like expectations, like, oh, we're going to outdo the Celtics. And they're 2-14. And this team is just what we call a dumpster fire. I don't think there's a single thing going right for this team. Their star player is universally hated, not just by the world, but by the roster as well. Tyrese Maxey had a call on me. He's like, Joel Embiid, why are you late to everything? Do you even care? And Embiid probably just like shrugged it off. Paul George is making podcasts about what's happening and breaking it down with clickbait YouTube titles. It's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Yeah, he dropped a YouTube video. It's like, and this is what happened at the meeting with, like, question marks. It's like, Paul George, like, lock in. Like, this team is a mess. Paul George is getting injured again, and there's really just nothing to look forward to.
I mean, to me, I'm going to go back to that Paul George thing, the posting on his podcast. I don't really like these player podcasts in the middle of the season. Micah Parsons does the same thing with the Cowboys. Paul George is the same thing with the Sixers. I don't really like it because you're not really focusing on your team. You're focusing more on the media, and the media is kind of your bad guy. Like, it's kind of the villain and everything.
You want to, like, really ticks me off about that, though? Is Jared McCain. He's been the star for the Sixers. You know how much, like, garbage he gets on Twitter for, like, making his TikToks?
Yeah.
And, like, Paul George, like, posts, like, a podcast and be like, oh, this is cool insight. It's like, where's the garbage going towards Paul George, who's trying to focus on the media, who's not playing games, he keeps injuring his knee. Like, where's the hate towards him? Because Jared McCain has been the only bright spot for the 76ers team.
I think the reason why, like, people don't like those player podcasts, like, in the middle of the season, and I'm not disagreeing with any of you guys, but I think it's just, like, the fact that, like, the people that are making the podcasts know that they're, like, the personalities of the league, if that makes sense. So, like, when they do stuff like that, where, like, Paul George is going on and trying to break down this meeting. Did he actually, or was it just clickbait? Like,
this actually happened.
So he actually, like, discusses what happened in the meeting.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a real
thing. That's too much for me. I would say, like, hey, Paul George, it'd be like if Paul George wanted to have a sit down, like, you know, maybe the Mavericks came to town and he wanted to interview Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
All glory to it. But having a conversation mid-season about stuff that I don't even think the Philadelphia 76ers want getting out there, and somehow this obviously did. That doesn't I don't like that either, yeah. Honestly.
Can I read you the exact headline?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. Players only meeting leak. What's next for the Sixers? Question mark.
Paul George posted that. Who is on the Philadelphia? See, like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. That's gotta be a fine of some
and
sort.
It's only Paul George, what, like 20th game with the team? And I don't even think he's played in half of those.
Four or five,
what I'm saying. So, oh man, me and Julian were talking about this yesterday, so it's funny that you brought it to the table on Red Zone. But man, it really is a dumpster fire. And, you know, Julian's gone to the point to tell me, he said he thinks that at some point, and we talked about Giannis 2 weeks ago, I think, he thinks they might trade Joel Embiid. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this.
I think me and Julian also talked about this a little bit. You know, a lot of 76ers hate going on in the office, but just I couldn't agree more because, like, he's just, like, kind of a cancer in the locker room. Like, no one's really rocking with him. Media's not rocking with him. But my only worry is, like, with Giannis, you don't really got to worry about the trade value. People will give you assets for Giannis. I really don't know how much you can get for Embiid at this rate because he's not playing basketball. He doesn't want to play basketball. He's causing issues with the media. He's causing issues with the fans, his own players, opposing players. It's just a guy that's not liked. And, like, I don't really know how you're going to be able to trade someone where no one likes him.
Yeah, to me, I think it's the end of the process. They tried for so many years now, and I defended Joel Embiid for as long as I could remember. I thought he did deserve the MVP a while ago, but at this point, he hasn't won you any games in the conference finals at this point, and this team just is not set up for success anymore. You paid Paul George for no reason, and at this point, I just think they need to let it all go.
I could spin zone this for you, though. I do think like it might be the end of the process in terms of, obviously, that was like Joel Embiid's slogan and everything like that. But at this point, the way that things are going, wouldn't it just feel like the 76ers would get better if they were to trade Joel Embiid? I feel like they have the pieces there. And we talk about Jared McCain. I mean, it hasn't been the strongest rookie class, definitely, for the NBA. I mean, we've seen some flashes out of Dalton Connect, who
looked
went
incredible.
Awesome performance the other night. But, you know, the talk of the NBA and who's been the rookie of the year, it's been Jared McCain. And I think if you pair that with Tyrese Maxey, you know, like,
they have an incredible backcourt.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is that, like, two pieces, like, you could build on going forward?
All right, go ahead, Julian.
I mean, when I say, like, they need to get rid of the process, I say they need to get rid of Embiid. Yeah, okay. Himself. Because he started the whole process thing and everything like that. But the amount that they could get for Embiid is insane because they could set up their whole future while also getting guys that could fit around McCain and Maxey.
That's really what you can build around. You really just got to get that big man thing. I mean, there's a couple in this draft as well. And with the assets you go with Embiid, I can only imagine what you can turn out of that. It's just, there's going to be a player that's going to compliment more. It's just Embiid's clearly not going to be the guy. And I also don't think it's going to be Paul George.
Yeah,
because he doesn't like Jared McCain, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, there's another quote that came out. I'm going to make sure not to say this incorrectly on air. But they asked him about their 2-12 record. He said, and I quote, "We really got to step our bleep up. Jared McCain can't be our most consistent player."
That's honestly valid, though. Because they have two perennial all-stars on the team and a rookie.
I do agree. Like, if you're Jared McCain, do you not feel a little degraded by that? Like, you're on this hot streak and Paul George's like, you can't be our best guy. You're not good enough to be our best guy.
Yeah, it's so weird. And it's almost like Paul George, like, I look back at it, and it's just this, it's part of me that I look at it and I'm like, oh, it's the soap opera of the NBA. But I'm like, man, he's been there for 20 games, and he's only played in whatever it might be, six of them. You might as well, if you signed this 4 or 5 year deal, you might as well have just gone back to LA or gone somewhere else because it's already a mess.
Yeah, I cannot agree more.
I mean, like, going to that whole the whole McCain thing, I see what you mean with it being, like, kind of bad. Like, you don't really talk about your rookie. Out of all people, you don't talk about your rookie like that. But I think it's more so of him trying to say, like, me, myself, Maxey, and Embiid all got paid over $40 million a year. And
we
need to be the ones that need to step up more so than the guy getting paid, like, $2 to $5 million a year.
The other thing that I just want to mention too before we move on from this is, you know, disrespect to Joel Embiid a lot, but the funny part about this is when he's on the floor, he is a top five player in the NBA.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think about, like, how much he is hurting a team while also, like the other day I saw, like, it was his first game back and he had 10 points in like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this guy is insane. I also saw him flopping at the free throw line yesterday.
Yeah,
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was great. We don't even talk about that no more. Like, we just know it's going to happen.
Joel Embiid, what a story. The Philadelphia 76ers just continue to provide us entertainment, really, for what's been like the last 10 years since they drafted this guy. Let's move on to the next thing. Julian, what do you got for us?
I mean, my Cubs, I mean, I think we're all Cubs fans in here, right? You're a Cubs fan too? I mean, they've made a couple offseason moves, nothing crazy, but a couple days ago they traded for – the Guardians' right-handed relief pitcher Eli Morgan for Alphonson Rosario. And a lot of Cubs fans are 50-50 on this because a lot of Cubs fans love prospect holding, mm-hmm. which I don't. But I think this is a good move for them. I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this move, and I think we could like spin this conversation to be even something more about the Cubs
right.
because there's a lot of rumors mm-hmm. that have been coming out about mm-hmm. them. But to start your offseason, I think getting a reliever like Eli Morgan is phenomenal. He's got like one of the best changeups in baseball, apparently. I remember watching him for the Guardians in the postseason, and I'm pretty sure in like 42 innings pitched, he gave up under 2 runs. So, yeah, I think it's a great move to start the offseason, but that's only I'm not here for an offseason of just trying to plug holes. We're here for an offseason to try and get better than the rest of the team, the mm-hmm. rest of the teams in the division, rest of the teams in the league. And at this point, it doesn't feel like they're going to do that.
Yeah, you want to talk about like plugging the holes, but it seems like to me the Cubs might be trying to build or dig a bigger hole. Because I know you guys have heard about the Cody Bellinger rumors. Like,
yeah.
How do we feel about that?
It's interesting because I think I don't know how this offseason is going to go. It from the way that it's been talked about, it doesn't seem like they're going to spend a lot of money. But
figures.
I think that they are going to work that trade, like the trade market,
mm-hmm.
and. Well, I think my biggest thing is if they're going to want to improve, and if they trade Cody Bellinger, it might free up money and they might go get another bat or something like that. But they have the financial flexibility to get a bat with Cody Bellinger, if that makes sense.
It does.
So it's just frustrating to me. I was talking to Julian about this yesterday, and really, like, this is a big offseason for not only the Cubs, because it's been 2 years in a row where you've missed the playoffs by however, I mean, 2 years ago, they missed it by half a game or one game. And then this year, you know, they had the same exact record and missed it by a couple, but still, like, you got to get better from where you've been. You've had the same record for 2 years in a row. Like, there's obviously something that's not going right. And as I said, they can continue to plug in holes, but I just think it's going to get it back to 83-83. If you're going to plug in those holes, you got to get players that are, you know, potential all-stars or even superstars. And that's my biggest takeaway, and I think what they need to do this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about so much over the last few weeks. This is a team that needs to spend money, but they're just not going to at the end of the day. Because if you're trading away Cody Bellinger, you're trying to get more prospects, but this team already has so many prospects, so, like, why did it do it again? And I think if you're going to trade away Bellinger, you need to go for a guy like Alonso, try to fill in that first base
gap.
But we can't say they're going to do that because they've never spent. So it's just kind of interesting and it's just kind of confusing at the same time what they're going to do.
I mean, I'm not supporting this at all. It's just reminding me so much like with the Oklahoma City Thunder when they're just like stocking up on draft picks to try and become the team they are today. That's just kind of what it sounds like what they're trying to do is like stocking up with like not draft picks, but like all these guys in the minor leagues. It's just I'm not sure if it's going to have the same success as the Thunder did.
I will say that I think when I saw the Cody Bellinger thing this morning, I think some people are like, what? Like, he just opted in. Like, they were expecting him to opt out, all this. I think it didn't shock me because in my head, I think someone from that lineup, that the current lineup as we look at it right now, is going to get traded this offseason.
100%.
Because of the fact that there is so many players that need to come up and develop, and there's a player in each spot. And I think a solid enough prospect that could come up and play well in that position where I think that they almost want to give that opportunity. And if they trade one of those players, it frees up cap room. So I almost think it's going to be like maybe either they go out and trade for another player or go sign a player to replace that production, but while also giving the opportunity for this young guy. So like, in retrospect, like in my head, what I'm thinking is if they trade Cody Bellinger, that means they're freeing up a spot in right field for Kevin Alcantara. If they trade, and this is the other name that's been brought up a lot, Nico Horner, it frees up that second base spot for Matt Shaw. And I think that's in their heads what they plan on doing. I think they want to get Matt Shaw or Kevin Alcantara getting work immediately at opening day next year.
Yeah, to me, I think their guy next year really needs to be getting Matt Shaw back in this lineup. And if they're going to trade anybody, I think it should be Horner too. They got a lot of guys that could kind of like, they could get on base pretty well. They could get on base pretty good amount, but they just can't hit those big hits when time comes. And Matt Shaw seems like he's going to be the guy that's going to be more so hitting the home runs versus mm-hmm. just the two, like the 1.5 like hits per game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have one show left before break, before we take our little month hiatus from here. And it'll be interesting on that first show to see the state of the Chicago Cubs because, you know, that December month is really and it'll be interesting to see the of all the teams, really, maybe not the White Sox, but even the Cardinals, because it seems like, you know, the Cardinals might even be in for somewhat of a rebuild this offseason as well. So it's a lot to keep up on. And, you know, as Cubs fans, we hope that they it feels like they got better this offseason, but not just better, a lot better. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this because I think this is maybe one of the funniest stories, I mean, across all sports. It's just insane how this is broken down. I have a lot of, I have many opinions on this entire situation. And on Tuesday morning, I think, we woke up to the news that Daniel Jones got benched on his bye week. And he didn't just get benched. Mm-hmm. He got demoted all the way to the fourth string quarterback. Oh, one man. Of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL is now the fourth string quarterback for the New York Football Giants. And Tommy DeVito, former U of I guy, mm-hmm. one of the greatest Italians America has mm-hmm. ever seen, Tommy Cutlets, yeah. is back at the helm for Brian Daboll's Giants. We could run with this one for as long as possible, yeah. I think. There's so much about this that's just like crazy.
Yeah, I haven't fact-checked this, but I'm relatively confident that this is a true statistic. Is Daniel Jones the highest-paid practice squad safety of all time?
Probably. I don't think it's any doubt.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if there was more than one making $40 million. But yeah, Daniel Jones is playing safety snaps in practice just so they have a guy out there. Like, this is one of the craziest fall-offs I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was kind of seemed like a bad pick from the start, and it just has not worked out for the Giants. But, you know, the New York Giants, they got a New York Giants somehow. But just as a fellow Italian myself, how can I not be excited to see Tommy Cutlets out there?
I mean, it was long overdue to me. He hasn't been that good in how many years since they won that playoff game? And he wasn't even that good when they won the playoff game. So I don't really understand why they took so long to do this when last year's class was even better with the quarterbacks. Now you kind of have to hope that you land like Sanders or somebody like that. And that's still a big if because a lot of teams suck in the NFL right now.
Mm. Yeah. It's one of the crazy – first of all, the safety thing, and I go back to this. For Daniel Jones, he gave like a speech today, like thanking the New York Giants, and, uh-huh. and everyone was making fun of him because it was like, oh, the Peyton Manning retirement speech, like all this, whatever. but honestly, first of all, if I'm Daniel Jones, stinks that I lost my job, but also like he just lost his job, but he's still making money, and he just gets to walk around mm-hmm. practice with his hands in his sweatshirt and just sits there. I mean, he doesn't even have to take quarterback reps. I think that's low-key a win.
No, he has the best job of all time.
That's what I'm saying. It is probably the best job of all time.
$40 million freeloading. Yes. Like, that's the dream.
He doesn't do anything.
In terms of the Giants and the thing that I take away most from this, I know everyone loves watching Tommy DeVito for some reason, but because he's fun and his agent's there and he looks like an Italian mobster from the 60s. Like, but in all reality, in retrospect, this is, in my eyes, a clear signal of them saying, we are trying to tank the season mm-hmm. as much as possible because their backup quarterback is Drew Lock. And Drew Lock is so much better than Tommy DeVito. I'm sorry. But, like, I thought at the beginning of this year, I was like, trust me, like, I have a feeling that there's going to be a point in this season where the Giants are like, we're just done with Daniel Jones. And they gave Drew Lock one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks jobs in the world. Poor Drew Lock, man. He is just not. He everywhere he goes, just I mean, he sat behind Geno for the longest time, and I think Geno is retrospectively he's better, but you know, he went to the Giants and it's like, all right, now it feels like Drew Lock might get his opportunity. No, we gotta watch this Italian play.
But yeah, are we really gonna have a Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock debate on Red Zone?
I'm just saying, like,
is this really about to happen?
I think Tommy for the vibes. That's why.
Tommy
the
for the vibes. Hey.
Where were you when Drew Lock was a Bronco rapping Jeezy on the sideline?
I watched that.
We both have vibes. And dude, let's not forget, like last season, Drew Lock beat a red hot Eagles team. Like,
I forgot.
He did that. Like, it was sick. He led a game winning drive too to win that one. It wasn't like it was.
I completely forgot that.
Yeah, so. Both these quarterbacks, they have fun vibes. I've always enjoyed Drew Lock since Missouri. He's a fun quarterback. Do I think he's better? Yeah, but they both have vibes. And when you're tanking, you don't want to be a tanking team that's not fun to watch. So just put the funny guy out there. Let's laugh at him.
I will say this, though, about the Giants, and I think this is, like, the most important part of this discussion, is there is something about the Giants that besides the quarterback, I think they have good pieces. Like, if they could just get the quarterback right, like, I'm not saying they're going to be, like, let's say they draft Shedeur Sanders, and Shedeur, I'm not saying that he's going to burst on the scene and be one of the best quarterbacks. Like, it's going to take. It's going to be a process, 100%. Mm-hmm. But, like, Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy, I think, are two, like, really good building blocks for an offense. Mm-hmm. And then they have the probably the best defensive lineman in the NFL this year in Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns, too. Like, I think there are pieces there, and Kayvon Thibodeau as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there are pieces there that they've drafted well in the past couple of years, and I think if they can just move on from this quarterback, free up some money, maybe get a better offensive line, like, I think tides could eventually change in New York.
It's just, if I'm the Giants, like, I know you can't really live timid and play scared, but it's just, I'm so scared to draft a quarterback after what happened with Daniel Jones, because, like, you gave it 6 years to see if it would work out, and it never did. I would be horrified, especially in a draft class that's not considered to have the strongest quarterbacks. Like, I would be so scared this offseason of what we could do.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at a mock draft, and they currently have the fourth pick in the draft, so it's not that bad. When a lot of these teams in the top just don't really need a quarterback at the same time, but right now they got them drafting Cam Ward. And I kind of like that fit for them, like pairing him up with Malik Nabers, but it all comes down to this being another place that's kind of like quarterback purgatory. Like, you don't really have a good quarterback since Eli Manning, and it just depends on how you develop him.
We'll be picking the Giants coming up as we do our extended pick six. We're picking nine this week.
Oh,
we'll explain it when we come back here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone as we do every week, pick six, but this week we got a little special. It is pick nine because next week we're not here. We're not going to be here. Obviously, it's next Thursday is Thanksgiving, one of the best holidays of the year. I don't know if you guys disagree with me. I would say maybe the best, arguably. But nonetheless, we're picking nine because of the fact that there's three games on Thanksgiving, and it's already – those games are a week away. So we're going to cover all of our bases here, but we'll start with tonight, Steelers versus Browns. Our guest picker this week is Jameson Warfield, our programming director, but he just gave us a sheet of paper with his picks and said, just announce them on air. So that's what we ended up doing. But once again, Steelers versus Browns, Thursday night game. The Steelers continue to find ways to win. They beat the Baltimore Ravens last week without scoring a single touchdown. Chris Boswell does it again. And meanwhile, the Browns, I mean, they can't find a win, but the vibes are fun because Jameis Winston is their quarterback. So, Joey, I'll start with you.
I mean, this just seems like it's going to be the most Steelers game of all time. The weather's not there, and there's just such a defensive-minded team. This just seems like the most Steelers setup of all time, and the Browns aren't good at football, so I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, this is kind of shaping up to be a really good in-division snow football game to me. I think it's going to be a lot of ground-and-pound football, but I'm going to go with the Steelers just because I feel like their team as a whole, their defense too, is just going to outbeat the Browns.
Steve and Jameson both going with the Steelers, and Joey already wrote in the Steelers for me because that's exactly who I'm going with. Something about the Steelers team, man. We talked about it last week, but I think it's so hard because the AFC is, there's like four really good teams in the AFC in my mind. The rest of the AFC is kind of like middle of the pack. I got to see some more out of some of these teams. But I think the Steelers, I mean, them beating the Ravens last week, that was statement. That was a statement win. And I mean, I think they're just going to continue, even though it's in Cleveland. The Browns are weird this year, but it doesn't matter. The Steelers, there's something about them.
Yeah, I mean, there's two teams that just made massive statements to me in the AFC last weekend. One of them we were talking about a little bit later in the Chargers. But the Steelers' defense, they're just incredible. And the offense, they just find enough to get in positions to get field goals. And I find it funny because it's like a lot of the media. It's like, you can't just win games making field goals. You're not going to win games this way. They win games that way.
Yeah,
they've done it twice. So it's like, hats off to them. I didn't think it was possible, but here are the Steelers proving us wrong.
Yeah, I think this team's finally elite at this point. You could finally put them in as an elite team because they have a great defense, but they have a quarterback that could win games now with a Hall of Fame coach. So everything is kind of aligning up for this team now, and I really want to see them kind of make a push in the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I don't know what it is. I don't know. The Russell Wilson, like, revenge tour of him actually becoming likable all of a sudden is fun. TJ Watt's awesome. It's a weird team, but I'm actually kind of rooting for them. All right, Vikings and Bears. The Minnesota Vikings have nearly won two games in a row, and I mean barely. They've gotten pretty lucky, and that's just the Bears bias coming out. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears can't get much worse. They have not won since their bye week. A blocked field goal against their arch rival in the Green Bay Packers, wins the game for the Packers, and the Bears drop down to, what, 4-6 now?
Mm-hmm.
Oof, couldn't get worse than Chicago right now. Vibes are low. Joey, where are we going?
Yeah, vibes are coming back, though. I'm going to Chicago this week. No, guys, like, the Vikings, they survived the Jaguars and the Titans. Like, let's be for real. We're not, like, I know the vibes aren't here for the Bears. Like, we're supposed to be down on them. They played incredible against Green Bay until that last moment. Like, Caleb Williams easily, I think, had his best game of the season. That fourth quarter drive that he led to what should have been a game-winning drive, which is incredible. He made his three best throws of the season, back-to-back-to-back. So I think this team, they're kind of rejuvenated with the new offensive coordinator and just the Vikings. I just don't think they're the same team they were at the start of the season, and I think the Bears can get one here.
I should have had a pick six upset last week. It kind of sucked seeing that field goal just happen, but just because of that now, I can't trust the Bears. I'm going to the Vikings because if the Bears lose, I get a pick six win, but if the Bears win, I get a Bears win. So it's win-win.
Yeah, the hoodie mentality has graced all of Red Zone.
Jameson and Steve both going with the Vikings, and I'm also going to go with the Vikings. I can't pick the Bears at this point in the season. I mean, Sam Darnold and the Vikings have slowed down, but I've seen this story before. I'm not even going to hype myself up. Yeah, it's bad right now. It's really bad.
It is.
But I will say this, and it stinks because I feel like I've been saying this for the last 22 years of my life. If they lose on Sunday, it's okay as long as Caleb looks good. So that's what I'm rooting for. All right, let's go to an NFC West matchup. I'm pretty sure this one is for first place, the way that things are shaking up right now in the NFC West, as it's an absolute crapshoot there. The Cardinals and the Seahawks, the Cardinals just continuing to find ways to win games. We thought that Call of Duty was going to curse Kyler Murray, but if anything, it's rejuvenated the Cardinals season as they have not lost since Black Ops 6 has come out. And meanwhile, the Seahawks, we thought they were dead, and Geno said no. He turned the gun at the 49ers and said, we're back.
I mean, what a build-up, Ben. Oh, my God. I've never been more excited for a random football matchup in my life, but we're here. And just, I've been a big fan of the Cardinals since the offseason. Like, I was just kind of waiting for this emergence. I think it's kind of the time they cement themselves as the top of this division. I'm going to ride with the Cardinals. I just love the offense they have. They are so fun to watch play football.
I think it's a Maserati Marv game this week. I think he's going to have two tutties this week, so I'm going to go with the Cardinals, too. They've been kind of missing out on that Marvin Harrison come-in game. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be this type of week in an in-division game, so give me the Cardinals.
Oh, man.
Seattle's so tempting
here. Steve and Jameson both on with the Cardinals. Give me the Seahawks. I don't know why this team just can't die. Like, they never do. There's always a chance, ever since Geno Smith has taken over as quarterback of that team. And I know they made the playoffs in his first year, but even last year it was like, you know, Seahawks might still have a chance at the playoffs. It's just the Cardinals' luck has to end here. And what I saw of the Seahawks last week, that game-winning drive from Geno was like, it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And somehow they might be in first place after this week. I can't believe what the NFC West is shaking up to be, but it's low-key kind of fun that all of them are like, just like, they're not super good, but they're not too bad either. Mm.
Yeah, it's like watching the bottom tier of the SEC go at it, where it's just they just play fun football. Yeah. Like, it's just vibes. Like,
it has been.
I love Geno Smith. He's incredible to watch. It's just, it feels like with these teams, they both just kind of lucked their way to get here. It's just, whose luck's going to die out? It's not like, who's the better team? It's like, oh, who's just going to stop being lucky? But it's going to be fun, exciting football.
I don't think there's going to be any defense played in that game at all.
No.
No defense at all in this game. I think it's going to be kind of like maybe the game of the week just because of that.
I mean, we heard the hoodie hype up, like.
I can't believe I pulled that off. That was impressive. I pat myself on the back for that one.
I got goosebumps.
All right, let's go to this one. The Eagles and the Rams, another NFC West team. The Rams have just found ways to win ball games. Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, the vibes are low-key back in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, the Eagles just can't stop losing. They put pretty much, they pumped the brakes on the Commanders last week. Even though the Commanders lost to the Steelers, it was an absolute light show from Saquon Barkley, who is just cementing himself as the offensive player of the year in the NFL. I think the Eagles have won, what, 8 games in a row now? 7? Something like that. It's been crazy for the Eagles. Joey, where are we going?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I like where both these teams are at this point of the season. It's just, this Rams team is just so rejuvenated. Getting their top dogs in Kupp and Nacua back, I just think it's so exciting. And like, when you have one of the best head coaches in football, Sean McVay, he finds ways to win games. And this is going to come down to a coaching battle, and I just never been sold on Sirianni. I think this is going to be an opportunity for him to sell, so I'll be rocking with the Los Angeles Rams.
I like the Eagles in this one because they're still my big game pick, and I don't know why. This team this year just seems different to me. I think they're going to make more of a run. I know Hurts is maybe concussed a little bit right now, but he's healthy right now. So I'm going to say the Eagles, but it's going to be a pretty close game.
It's so weird because they have been so hurt. Like, it feels like they haven't had AJ and Devontae in a game together for, like, the entire season. Because even when they get with each other and they're both on the field, it's like, oh, nope, AJ Brown's down with an injury once again. Like, it's just, it's been hard to watch, but it doesn't matter because it's been the Saquon Barkley show. Mm-hmm. And they are just, they're feeding him the rock, whether it's through the pass, whether it's through the run game. He's jumping over guys, doing 360s in the air. Yeah, I don't know what it is about this Eagles team. We saw this last year out of them too, and they just plummeted out. And as Julian said, it feels like the vibes are different. I don't know what it is. I like the Eagles in this matchup. Jameson going with the Rams while Steve is going with the Eagles. Yeah, I'm gonna ride the Eagles in this one. I think it feels like they've been on this list every single week. But I'm just gonna keep picking them because they haven't lost in a really long time. All right, let's go to Monday Night Football. It is Chargers and Ravens. Chargers just managed to pull out a win in what was maybe the game of the year on Sunday night. Justin Herbert and the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh just managed to squeak one out against the Baltimore Ravens and against the Cincinnati Bengals and practically end their season. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens, after what felt like they were totally back, vibes were good, Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP, they only score 10 points and lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Ravens need this win bad, but once again, the Chargers have proven a lot of doubters wrong this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this I'm going to be honest, like, I'm just still not impressed by this Chargers roster. I mean, on the field, they're incredible. Like, I just look at this roster, I'm like, how are you guys this good? I look at the guy running it all in Jim Harbaugh. It's just the vibes he has brought to this team is incredible. I was dying for him to be in Chicago. It's a shame he's not here. But just what he's done there is awesome. I picked against him last week, so I feel like I should learn my lesson, but I'm just not going to. It's just kind of so hard to bet against Lamar, just knowing the skills and the dynamics he brings to the game. I'll be rolling with Baltimore this week.
I mean, Justin Herbert's been balling this whole year, but Lamar Jackson's just been way better this year, too. So I'm going to take the Ravens because this team, I don't see the Chargers' defense as stopping the Ravens' offense whatsoever, especially on the inside. So I think the Ravens are going to win by at least two scores.
Steve going with the Chargers, meanwhile Jameson going with the Ravens, and I'm also going to go with the Ravens. I think they need a bounce back win bad, and I think they just kind of got stuffed by the Steelers last week. And it's so weird because Harbaugh makes that much of a difference to that roster.
Isn't that
like,
crazy?
It really is true. And there, you know, you look at the roster and it's like, who's running routes out there? It's Ladd McConkey. I look like Ladd McConkey. I'm sorry. Like, that was the biggest thing. Like, he's a little guy that just, he looks exactly like me. I'm like, how is this guy catching the football like that? He's so much fun to watch, though. Like, him running routes is insane. But yeah, I'm going to ride the Ravens in this one. Lamar Jackson, like, if I was still pick up MVP right now, it's Lamar. And yeah, I think I'm going to go in that direction. All right, let's do our pick six game of the week before we get in these Thanksgiving games, before we send you off for 2 weeks. I know you're going to miss us so much. But the 49ers and the Packers is our game of the week, as picked by you on our Instagram at WZND on Instagram. Make sure to go give us a follow button on Instagram. We got a ton of content on there. We were even featured on there a couple 30 or 40 minutes ago or so. So 49ers at Packers. Once again, the 49ers, it has been a weird up and down season for them. Everyone's injured. Everyone's hurt. And, you know, even though Brock Purdy's doing as much as he can, it's kind of hard to win games when all your best receiving options are out. Meanwhile, the Packers, as we said, we don't really need to talk about it. They can manage to block a kick and win a game. All right. 49ers and Packers. Joey, where are we going?
Yeah, this is where I make the classic mistake of where I change my pick on air. It's just, I think this Packers team is good. I did. I think it's a very impressive Packers team, as much as that pains me to say. They find ways to win games. Jordan Love's just not looked like the guy we've expected him to see all season, but it's just the 49ers, like, you just expect them to be contenders to win the big game, but it's just like they just keep not proving that every week. They just keep looking like such an underwhelming team. So it's like I'm trying to get that narrative out of my head that this is the 49ers team we know from the past. So I will be rocking with Green Bay this week.
The 49ers need to win very badly to me, and this team has been very underwhelming, and pretty much Shanahan, I don't know why in the world they would do this, but he's kind of been like in firing rumors right now, and I have no idea why they would fire him.
There's no way.
There's no way it's possible, but I think they're going to win this week. not only because they need to win, but Christian McCaffrey is still waiting for his breakout game again, too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a pretty bad weather out in Lambeau this weekend. So I'm going to go with them because they're going to have their run game going.
I'm going to go with, I don't know. I like what you said about the Packers, Joey, but the 49ers need a win so bad. Nah, I'm going with the Packers. I think they're going to have some sweet, sweet revenge after what happened last year. Kind of makes sense. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to ride the Packers. I feel like there's times where we do that, though, where it's only me and you that pick the same team
work.
And it always loses.
Nah, this time, bro, trust.
All right. Let's go to Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners. We're so thankful for you all, everyone that follows along with us every week as we continue to do these pick six, as we continue to talk Redbird sports. It's been great to be with you this entire year. But let's start the 11 a.m. game, the classic Lions Thanksgiving game. Oh, by the way, they're taking on the Bears. The Lions are just absolute vibes right now. You can't beat them. You cannot beat them. And the Bears, who knows, maybe they beat the Vikings, so I can't really give a good description for this one. So Steve and Jameson are going with the Lions. Joey, go ahead.
There's no way I do it, is there?
Don't do it.
No, there's no way I do it. For the first time in Red Zone history, I'm picking against the Bears. There's just no chance in the world this game's going to be like 28-point victory, and that's really going to ruin my Thanksgiving. Like, my parents are going to ask what I'm thankful for. I'm going to be like, I don't really know if I'm being honest after this performance I'm about to watch for the Bears. Be like, give me the Lions.
You know, the Bears always have very close games with the Lions, and it's Thanksgiving, and I want to be very, like, happy on Thanksgiving, and that's why I'm going to take the Lions in this one. But I think if Caleb Williams plays good against the Lions, that'll make my Thanksgiving way better. So that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, we just care about Caleb Williams' record. At this point, we don't care about the Bears' record.
And Rome.
We've
been
saying that for all 22 years of our lives. But that's all right. Give me the Lions. I mean, I literally said we're going to wake up Thanksgiving morning, vibes high, just got done watching the Thanksgiving parade with all the big balloons, and you turn on the Lions game. Oh, it's 30-0 at halftime. But don't worry, hey, we have a performance coming from Shaboozy. I wonder what song he's gonna play. But yeah, I'm so excited for that, guys. Let's go Bears!
Great.
All right, now this is the real game of Thanksgiving.
What's wrong with these schedule makers?
Well, it also didn't work out in their favor. We have, I mean, this is probably the biggest bowl game of the entire year. Screw the big game itself. Yeah. We got Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito on Thanksgiving afternoon. Nothing more you can ask for between two teams that are 2-8 and 3-8. I don't even know who to. Can I just void my pick for this
sure.
game?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going to do that, but Joey, go ahead.
Yeah, for everybody listening, just spend time with your family. Turn your TV on. Get to catch up with them. See how Auntie's doing, bro. It's been a while, but just give me the Cowboys. Like, I don't care.
Honestly, we should put Malik Nabers and CeeDee Lamb at Wildcat and see how the whole game goes.
That'd be so much fun.
That'd be pretty fun. I mean, I'm going to take the Cowboys. Why not? I don't really know. Just move on.
All right. I have Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy on my fantasy team. So give me Tommy Cutlets and the Giants. They're going to get a win at Jerry's World. They can't win there. They cannot win at that stadium. Jake Paul has more wins than the Dallas Cowboys this year. All right, finally, the actually only probably good game of Thanksgiving, and we didn't give ourselves enough time to talk about it. Packers and Dolphins. Joey, where are we going?
Dolphins are hot. Give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins too. I like how this team's looking right now.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. We're all going Dolphins here. All right, once again, thank you so much. That was another edition of Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Julian Voss. We are not back next week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll be back the following week in December. It's already December. It's crazy. But once again, thank you so much for tuning into the Red Zone every week, and we'll be back very soon.
This has been Red Zone.